You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY, Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours. What is success? What does it mean to be successful? Is it all about money? Or is it all about love, fame, attention? Or is it some secret other thing that we've yet to explore? I'm Brianna Wheeler, and I want to know what success means to the people that I think are successful. Because success can mean so many different things to so many different people. So let's discover a few new ways together. This is Success Stories. Hello, and welcome to Success Stories, a 30-minute radio program that explores all the weird, wild, and wonderful ways iconic Portlanders have found success. Today, I'm talking to Michelle Kitcherer, the founder of Banana Pitch, Banana Pitch Press, the author of the erotic novella Sexy Time Hello, and the inventor of the memoirella.
Hello, so good to be here.
Thank you so much for being here today, Michelle. When I was coming up with the idea for this show and kind of putting together how I wanted it to shake out, you were the first guest that I thought of because of all of the people that I want to share stories with, you're at the top of mind because your story really exemplifies like the thesis of this show about creating your own success, creating your own path, and finding your own way.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much even for saying that and for having me on. And I'm great. I was like kind of mentally preparing for this interview and it put me in such a headspace where I was like reflecting on what's been going on lately. And I'm just, I feel pumped. I'm ready. I'm excited to talk.
Yes, I am also very excited. So of course, the first question is, what is the origin story of your awesome idea, Banana Pitch?
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of, I mean, like most of my origin stories, I guess it's kind of weird, but it started with like, I used to be an au pair in France. And one day I was in the bathroom and I smelled, the kids used to always play these pranks on me. And I thought I smelled banana. And I was I was looking around for like a banana peel or something. And then for some reason I imagined opening the shower curtain and this like life-size banana was there. So it kind of just became this like guiding figure, like sidekick turned alter ego over the years that anytime something weird would happen, I would think like banana. And then it I would like look at it in my imagination, like glance at banana when weird stuff would happen. And then I was like, what if this became a show? And so I wrote this whole idea where I'm like pitching the idea of banana to like a show executive or something. I used to work at this venue in Oakland and had started this project that I called Banana Pitch, where people would pitch me story titles. I would write a story based on that title and then have an illustrator illustrate it. And then after about a year or so of this project, I realized like there's so many writers, like I don't want it to just be my writing. There's so many writers that would be eager to have their story published as I was trying to do for myself time. So I opened it up and turned it into this literary magazine in 2014. So people would submit stories and then I would commission an illustrator to illustrate their story. And for a lot of people, it was like their first ever publication. And it was just this incredible experience. And I realized, you know, I wanted to be published. I wanted to publish my fiction so bad. And so to start doing that for other people and realize the effect of that, I just saw the power in that. And so I, it's just had all these different variations over the years, but ultimately like it started because I know how hard it is and how important it is to be published and to have your voice out there. So, and to have fun with it. Like, I don't know, there's always a banana. There's some humor and lightheartedness into it as well. So I think it attracts a certain kind of person.
Yeah, for sure. Like how embedded you are in the city's literary scene, Like the Banana Pit show has also seen iconoclastic artists and performers come through.
Trippy still to be like, oh wait, this is a real thing that started almost 20 years ago. There's also a theme song that I recorded with a Portland musician, Anna Diem, that's on our website. So if you want to like get in the zone, you can read the origin story in like pitch format with a song playing in the background. So you can really, you know, immerse yourself.
Oh my God, I get it. Banana Pitch is a whole vibe, multisensory moments for the people. Yes. Okay. Okay. You have to tell me how you balanced formulating this concept and refining it and building it over 20 years with your other iconic gig as like a pretty esteemed literary critic. What moments stand out? Tell me about like some of the inciting incidents that really led to this final crystallization of what Banana Pitch is now.
Yeah, I mean, I think years ago I had discovered that Miranda July book, It Chooses You, where she finds these penny saver ads and goes and interviews people and photographs them and talks to people about, they, you know, posted like an ad for a hairdryer for $10. Like, who's going to put in the effort of having someone come over and pick up this thing for $4 or whatever? So projects like that, like, really inspired me to think outside of the norm, like still having like that writing, but also like highlighting the people that are, whose stories are out there. But I think as far as, I mean, like being a book critic, I write for a few different places and talk to writers and artists of different mediums, and I'm always learning from them. And it kind of pushes me to have to, you know, I read and absorb literature in a really in-depth way. I have like crazy notes all over every book. And I think it just, I'm grateful and humbled to do that as part of my work. And I think it all just feeds itself, that if, you know, like hearing other writers' origin stories or the process of them writing their book, like that feeds into not only my own writing practice, but also how I interact with the writers that are coming on to Banana Pit Press. I mean, publishing, like, that's a whole thing.
Right. Totally. Totally. I was first introduced to your work, not because you have a press, but because I actually reviewed your debut novella for Willamette Week. So that was like my primary entry point into your world, into the world of the banana. And as I peeled the banana open, I feel like so many more layers were revealed to me. Like, your success is so many things. It's not just the press. It's not just the book. It's not just the stage show. You're also an educator. You're a book doula. You invented a genre. When you in the past imagined your success, did you imagine these things? Did you imagine what's happening now?
Well, I definitely didn't always, or maybe ever, think that I was going to run, you know, we're a nonprofit indie press. Maybe in grad school, I was the managing editor of the literary magazine there. And that was my first foray into realizing what it was like on the other side of like the editorial side. But I mean, honestly, like part of what changed everything for me was my biggest dream of my life was to have a book published, like ever since I was a kid. So that was so important to me. So when I started submitting this novella, I had had a couple different offers on it, and they were from small presses, and basically they would have taken the rights. They would own the rights to the book if I had sold it to them. And I realized as I was going through these contracts, like how little control I would have over the editing process. And like, I really wanted to record my own audiobook, and I wouldn't be able to do that. They were going to sell that, the rights to the audiobook. Not that money for me has ever really been a focus. It was like piddly what I would earn from this book. And it was like creative control. Like, I wouldn't be able to control what the cover would look like. And, you know, I'd always had this dream of the first illustrator who ever did one of my stories, Ryan Johnson, like always wanted him to do my cover art. And so after doing all this research and digging into the world of publishing and corporate publishing and different types of presses, I was like, man, like, it's like, what if I already had the reassurance that my book was wanted. I feel like I needed that maybe, but I was like, well, screw it. Like, what if I put it out myself? Banana Pitch has been this thing for a decade now. And so I started like hustling and figuring out how to make it a press. And people were like, oh, this can be really hard, you know, like running a press. And I was like, everything I do is hard. I was like, challenge accepted. So it has been a challenge and it's been exciting. And it's like something to like, I don't want to say wake up for, but I feel very alive. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as like success, like I love my book. I love that people love my book. I love all the books on Banana Pit Press. Each one of them is novella or what we could dub the memoirella format. So like shorter form in between a short story and a novel size. And like people love our books. I absolutely believe in every single one on the press. And I'm just so proud of it and so proud of all of our writers. And like to be able to put out someone's debut book, like I sobbed when I got first offer. And like, I know what that feeling is like. So to be able to facilitate that for anyone is just like a huge honor.
Right. Like that feeling is so palpable, right? What you're describing is like the feeling of being able to not only hold the door open for the next person, but you're like also creating new doors, like in the process of keeping those doors open. Also, like I have novellas in my collection, but I feel like Banana Pitch Press straight up opened my eyes to like new possibilities within this genre. Like I already loved this genre, but you've done something so like extraordinary with the genre. Talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, I did dub the term memoirella.
Yes, you did. Give her flowers.
The novella is, I love that format. And I kind of realized during the process that I was like, no, you can kind of actually do whatever you want. And like being independent and a nonprofit, as the books were coming together, I didn't even realize till the next book we have is by Rex Marshall. It's called All the Work I Never Wanted, a memoirella. And I didn't even realize till then that like, oh, every book that we put out so far is in some way connected to jobs. Like sex worker / nanny, executive director of the National Women's Roller Derby League, running a junkyard, and then like all these other jobs. And so it kind of started, maybe it was just subconsciously, like I've always worked tons of different jobs. I don't think I'll ever have like a quote normal job. So it's like, I think I just love stories of people working hard in some world that's interesting and working like for something that they really care about. And that's kind of like how the books have skewed. And I think you can say that in the shorter form. And I think that there's not a lot of publishers that will put out a novella or a memoirella. And so to have a home like in this, just kind of noticing that hole, I guess, in the literary marketplace, that we're like, all right, bananas down, like let's take your stories, and like they can be like these small, you know, 100-word, 150-word books, and they're great. The audiobooks are like 2.5 hours or so, 3 hours. You know, you can run a marathon and listen to a bit. Kidding, I don't know. I would never run a marathon. Why I said that. If I ran a marathon, it would be in 3 hours, apparently.
She does everything so well. How does she do everything so well?
Just kidding. I have bad hips.
Okay. You didn't invent the genre, obviously. But, I mean, get serious. You did seriously, like, really get into this niche and expand it and kind of blow it up. And it does kind of like it low-key echoes this, I don't feel something that feels like kind of maybe superficial advice, you know, find your space and fill it, find your special bucket and fill it, find the needle in the haystack, just bought a lightning or whatever. No biggie, but Michelle, but you did that. And you did that and you didn't just make it look easy, babe. You make it look fun.
Well, thank you. Don't make me cry on air. I think sometimes I have to look back at myself from 10, 15, 20 years ago and remember what that Michelle wanted so badly and to see like, oh my gosh, this is what she always wanted. Like to be able to write, like I write for Willamette Week. I write for San Francisco Chronicle. Like me 10, 15 years ago, like I was trying so hard. I was writing anywhere. I was writing, you know, I was getting paid $5 per music review. Like I was trying so hard to make it work and happen. And so, yeah, I when I think of that, and think of, you know, my journey, I'm just like, I am proud of myself. I feel this, it's like bonkers. I have to pause sometimes and just look back and be like, wait, when I cause I'm constantly like just thinking to the next thing. Like I'm working on a novel right now. I'm thinking about the next, you know, 2027 books, but sometimes I just have to pause and be like, hold on, like you're doing a good job. You're working too hard. I think it's just honestly, I don't even know. It's just such an honor to do what I do and to have these kooky ideas. If anything, when someone's like, that's going to be hard, that's like this little extra motivator that I'm like, yeah, I can do stuff that people think like, that is, you can't do that. Like, you can't, like, that's like someone had said, like, oh, like, are you actually, when the third book came out, someone came up to me at a reading and was like, I didn't realize you were actually going to really start this. I thought you were just going to put your own book out and like, just to do it. Like, I didn't realize you really were going to start publishing other people's books. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, it's way more fun for me to put out other people's books and talk about other writers and other artists than my own work. Like, that's, I didn't realize how hard that would be for me, that I'm like, I just love, yeah, advocating for other people's art. And Banana loves it. Banana is like the biggest cheerleader, always in the background. there's probably a huge banana in my imagination, thumbs upping us with, like, sometimes it has a hand. I don't know.
Is the banana gendered?
I mean, it's skewed into like a dude banana, but it's kind of just this non-gendered banana creature.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just banana, capital B.
Oh, yes, proper noun. Proper noun, yes. Put some respect on Banana's name, I understand, yes. because, of course, Banana is doing way cooler stuff than any banana has maybe ever done. You kind of graced the chat with also like a Kickstarter success story as well. I mean, several, in fact, because like, and it's so dope that you do this, that each, you crowdfund each of the books on Banana Pitch Press. And like, for like, way to fold the community into the projects. Like, what a way to make us feel a sliver of ownership over this project that like everybody really knows so well and is so iconic. But like, I might be out of pocket. I'm catching your energy here. I kind of feel like maybe you are a success objectively, but when you look at yourself from the inside out, do you kind of feel like maybe you're halfway up the ladder? Have you completed? I mean, obviously, I mean, what's next? You've got stuff in the works. I'm sure you do. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I'm personally, I'm working on a novel that I'm finishing edits on that I don't want to put out myself, that I'd absolutely, I've poured a lot of myself into this book. So I'm really, really excited about it. Excited to start talking about it, querying it. If there's any agents listening that want a banana queen.
Agents, hello.
Pew, 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 pew. That's how I call creatives. But yeah, I mean, I would love, so we became a nonprofit last year. And so I would love future Banana to have support in doing that side of things. I am a creative and I am a businesswoman entrepreneur, but not actually the finance side and like that green visor part. I'm just like, oy. I'm like, can I write you a check for that? I'm like, how do I do this part? So like, if someone else wants to help like with the fundraising and that stuff, that would be amazing for future Banana. But yeah, we're about to open submissions for 2027 books. So that's kind of something that's coming up the pipeline.
Are you dealing with like a monster pile of submissions, like a towering monster, or is it endless?
Basically. Wow. I think now that we realize that it's the novella and memoirella size books, and further realizing that it's work related stories, I think that also helps narrow it a little bit. So I think I'm excited to start reading. Last year we had a couple different interns helping with like the slush pile process and all of that. I'm excited to kind of gently grow. I want to grow in like a sustainable way. There's such a need for it that I just, you know, I want to take all the books and all the things, but I'm like, oh gosh, okay. I am but one banana. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally. Just solamente banana. Well, so who are you looking up to? Like, Is there anybody that you're idolizing? Who's your success story?
Maybe this is a weird, I was at the Litquake Fall Press Book Fair last fall, and the Banana Pitch Press booth was next to McSweeney's, and someone from McSweeney's was like looking at my book and they're asking about it, and then they realized like that was my author picture, and they were like, wait, that's you? I almost was embarrassed for a second. I was like, oh, well, that was just our first book. We have all these ones coming out. And I like was justifying and explaining it. And the editor guy was like, dude, like Dave Eggers, like this is how he started. He first published his book under Brief But Staggering Work of Genius.
Oh, or, I love that.
I'm paraphrasing that badly, but he started McSweeney's Press, which is like this huge nonprofit, amazing publisher based in San Francisco. Ever since that moment last fall, that became this little kind of like guiding light of like, oh yeah, and look at the things that they do and like how beautiful their books are. So yeah, that's kind of like future banana vision is that. And you know, maybe I'll connect with Mr. Eggers and pick his brain and be like, help a banana out. How do we do this?
Dave, I know you're listening. Jump into the chat. Jump into Dave. The comments.
Beep, beep, beep,
let
beep,
us know.
My phone is blowing up. He's FaceTiming me.
Oh my gosh, Dave. Well, you tell him I said hello and that he still owes me $5. But I tell him that tell him to donate it to X-Ray. Okay. So what is something that Banana Kitcherer wants to leave the listeners with? What's something important to make the final note of?
I think just that, you know, like our publishing landscape has changed a lot, especially with the current administration and funding for the arts and especially for literary arts. It's so hard. Like there's so much that goes into making a book. And I don't think writers know that until they're in it, or certainly the public or potential donors. Like there's just so, so, so much that goes into just producing one book. And I think just like helping people understand that and also understanding just how big of a moment it is for someone to have a book out. I don't know what exactly more to say about that, but I think just people that maybe are that consume the arts but aren't in it might not fully realize that. And I'm like, I don't know, I want more people to with deep pockets, as they say. And I'm not talking banana and whatever nonprofit literary space, like that would make me so happy if people were like, I'm gonna start contributing to literary arts or other foundations that support writers. It's hard to make it out there as a writer, as a creative, so that's my soapbox, my banana box that I'll die on. Should I stop talking about bananas so much?
never stop talking about bananas so much. Never, ever.
Sometimes I joke I'm losing my mind and I'm like, that left years ago. That's been replaced with something better.
All right, folks, thanks for joining me for this episode of Success Stories. Learn more about Michelle Kitcherer and Banana Pitch Press at michellekitcherer.com and at bananapitch.com. And join me next week for another success story. And remember, success is what you make it. We'll be right back. Success Stories is written and produced by Brianna Wheeler. Music provided by New Baron Sound.
Clock as it stands against the wall.